So a man who gives because he wants to get, he has sown selfishness. He gets nothing. Because the act, you see, the thing behind what he's doing, the thing behind what he's doing is his seed spiritually. I'm teaching, no, really, I tell Christians don't believe the gospel. They perform all kinds of jokes, all kinds of acrobatics. I watch them and I laugh. See, this is not the gospel you're acting upon. That's why there's no power in it. Believe me. I'm believing God strongly for the mighty release of his power. That people might realize that indeed there's a God that is alive. That's why we are afraid of all kinds of people. Listen to me. The best thing God ever made is a Christian. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying it because I'm a believer. I thought about it. Toyota, the best car they ever made that time was LS400. After many years of researching, God took all the years together and produced one thing. One thing. Christ Jesus. His death and his resurrection. Paul said, I don't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. He said, I want to come, listen, to Rome to do one thing. To preach the gospel to you. This is the power of God unto deliverance. What am I saying? The word of God has power. It will deliver us from all our problems, all our sicknesses, all our failures. If we will allow it to bear fruit in our life. That's what I've been preaching. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes, that's what I've been preaching. It's the word that works by itself. The problem is that people don't believe it. He said they did not enter into his rest because of unbelief. That is, once God preaches the word, anyone who grabs it by faith will see the power contained therein. Paul said it is a power of God unto deliverance. It is a power of God unto healing. It is a power of God unto wisdom. It is a power of God unto direction. It is a power of God unto business success. That's what he meant to say, the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile. Do you get my point? I was watching TV the other day. They were gathering again, Christians United for Israel. I said, which kind of job that God didn't send these people are they up to again? Why don't Christians unite for Rwanda? Why don't Christians unite for the Arabs? Why don't Christians unite for the Nigerian? I think Christians should unite for Lagos. Because I heard that Lagos was voted the most difficult city on earth to live in. When I heard it, my heart broke. Somebody said, wait, that was before Fashola. That was before Fashola. Thank God, Fashola is improving it. Alright? But we need power and water for us to live the, because they say even Mumbai, all those Indian cities, now better to live in than Lagos. That traffic is bad. There's no light. There's no water. I think Christians should unite for Lagos. That's what I'm saying. Why did I say that? I was telling my wife, I said, I think the American Christian is the greatest hindrance to the preaching of the gospel in the Arab world. I will write a letter to John Hagee and many of his friends. I say, brethren, answer me this question. If God were to stand there, you put an Arab in front of him and put a Jew in front of him, ask him which one of them does he love more. Ask yourself, what will he say? Because both of them are descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. And both of them are unbelievers as far as Christ is concerned. What's the difference? Yes, so I said, look, I want to tell the American, you are the reason why the Arab can't believe in Christ. Because you gather together and say the job of the Christian is to support the Israelite against the Arabs. I know this is revolutionary talk amongst believers. I've had this argument with Christians everywhere. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew and the Gentile. The first to receive it was the Jew. Paul said, so to the Jew first. And then after that, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, you can say anything you like. The solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict is faith in Christ Jesus. Until that, you can't convince anybody to stop shooting. And God, listen to me, God is not more in favor of one person than the other. The only person he favors is a kind person, the person of love. Are you getting my point? The person who walks in justice and righteousness, not the unbeliever who rises up and says, Abraham is my father. I have a covenant in Jacob, and he doesn't believe in God. Gay marriage is all right. You get what I say? You take all the laws of Moses, throw it into the bush, and said, I have Abraham as a father. When did we start preaching around that gospel that God, even Jesus, can't recognize? I'm digressing. What am I saying? There is a power in the word of God. And if we will believe it, it works by itself. Let's continue reading. The book of Luke chapter 8. Let me quickly jump to where we were. He talked about the different kinds of seeds that didn't bear fruit. Those on the rocky soil, verse 13, are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root. They believe for only a while. You see what I'm saying? When your faith is for a while, you don't get anything. Did I hear an amen? See, that's the problem. The faith that is for a while. A lot of people believed in Christ Jesus in university. As soon as they graduated, the temptations of life, they made them forget Christ Jesus. A lot of people believe in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something about faith in Christ Jesus that we are saying. You see, I said there are two levels to everything spiritual. There's a general level and there's a specific level. Do you understand my point? Now, please, if you have not read that book, I'm encouraging you now to read it. He that believes. I described it there. There's a general faith that gets you to heaven. Nothing beyond that. I believe in Christ. Son of the Most High God. How does the Apostles' Creed? Anyway, you know the Apostles' Creed. Yes. I said, but God has a word to say about every issue in your life. Every single word. There's a word he has to say about your health. There's a word he has to say about your business. There's a word he has to say about your marriage. There's a word he has to say about your aging. Do you know something? Aging. Are you going to grow old? I remember the day, oh God. I bent over a stick. I was walking. I was playing. And somebody said, hey, that is Doc at 60. Sheesh. I said, what? He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed as the eagles. I will never bend. That's how I responded. Don't play that kind of rubbish play around me. There's something that God has to say. I told people, listen, let me tell you something about life. I said before that everything is a temptation, is a trial, is a distraction. Everything. God gave me a word. It's my personal word. You've heard it several times. It leapt onto off the pages into my face from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, I have persistently believed you won't change my mind. There's something he has to say about my prosperity. I don't care whether the value of houses triple, go up 10,000 times in Enugu, I don't give a damn. I didn't have a million naira. When it was a million naira, I will have a billion when it's only 200 million. I believe it, and I believe it persistently. Listen, I will not die young. I will listen. Let me tell you the truth. And I'm not saying that I'll get up and start drawing up and down looking for where money is. I have located my assignment. Listen, there are two groups of people that God has given a job right now. God has given them a job right now. Two groups of people. He said, gather money and want you to bless banking with it. There are two. They are the righteous and then they are the wicked. The righteous ones are gathering it out of love for God and out of appreciation for the blessing that the word that I preach has been to them. But there are some wicked people. God said, you steal money. I won't let you die. Steal. Keep stealing. You're a thief. I know. Do everything you want to do. Build houses. Build the most expensive houses. Buy the most expensive cars. Then one day I will make you broke. That banking might buy it for 10 naira. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It's not just about me. I'm preaching about me. You sitting out there, listen. There are people that, you know, he said concerning Esau. Alright? Concerning Jacob and Esau. He said, your brother will serve you. That's Jacob. Told Jacob, your brother will serve you. Anyone who doesn't believe in the gospel of Christ has been created to serve the one who believes. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Anyone who doesn't believe has been created to serve the one who believes. Listen, God has a word concerning different aspects of life. I heard that word concerning prosperity. You know what that one did for me? Some people hear it and they start running up and are looking for money. I say, no, when I heard it, it meant banking. Don't worry about money. What do you do? Preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. The last few weeks, I've had a short break. You know, short break. Like, apart from Tuesdays and apart from Saturdays alone, I wasn't preaching more than that Saturday once a week. But generally, I preach on the average 4 times a week. Now I'm back to it almost. Tuesdays, Saturdays, all right? I preach for radio separately. And then when you put all the under invitations, go here, go there, put them on the average, you find I preach more than 3 times a week average. I'm back to writing. Books will come out. Listen, it is not, the books are not designed. In fact, today I was meditating. It was as if I heard the Spirit of God say to me again. I was in NTA. As I was walking down the fields of NTA, I said, Banky, write this book. What's your problem? Write now. This is how people will read for generations and their brains will be corrected. I'm not writing a book to make money. If it is for money, it's a very difficult way to make money. You know that? It's a very difficult way to make money. Write a book to make money. Most authors don't make jack. That is why I'm not afraid to put books free on the internet. Download it and read it. I want you to read it. I want you to be blessed. Do you follow what I'm saying? My two groups of people, they are working. Some, they are righteous. Others are wicked. As long as I faithfully serve God, do you get my point? Yes, I'm sowing my own spiritual seed. By obedience, I told you spiritual seed is a spiritual thing. Physical seed is not a spiritual seed. It's what is behind you, when your heart, when you are doing that physical thing. You can't say because you need 10,000 naira, you're going to give 200 naira. That is a gift of selfishness. You know, there's labor of love. And there's a labor of, I'm thinking about myself alone. But when you are doing the will of God, do you get my point? God is already arranging other things. You don't have to struggle about them. What am I saying? God has a word. Many people believe certain words when they were on campus. They left school and life showed them pepper. Because the word didn't sink, it was just a happening thing on campus. Amen, bro. Amen, bro. You know, there are many reasons people go to church. Some people go to church because it's a social thing. For some people, it's a business networking zone. I'm telling you the truth. If I don't go to that church, they won't give me contracts again. After all, the MD goes to that church. There's a church in Lagos those days. They had about 3 bank MDs. Those days, the banks were plenty. One single church. Come sure brethren went to church. They were ushers there who were waiting for bank jobs. You're welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. All they are doing is, okay, when I show up for the interview, forget me not to. There's one bro I knew in this Enugu. Anytime he sees you, first thing he does is to introduce himself as an usher in your church. He said, my name is so-so-so and so. I'm an usher. Uh-huh. Yes, I wanted to tell you that I needed money. I said, okay, so the passport to bleeding me is that you're an usher. Oh, the Lord is good. But so because they are there for different reasons. So they are everything. Everybody is happy. Everybody is jumping. Finally, when they leave and they are on their own, somebody will come. That's devil. You know, there are different kinds of manifestations of Satan. Let me tell you the truth. That thing on campus doesn't work out here. Believe for a while. He believed for what? A while. For the 3 years he was in that fellowship on campus, he believed. During NYC, he began to not believe. By the time he began to look for a job, he forgot totally. I remember one of my seniors, when I was a house officer, looked at me, saw me carrying a Bible. He said, I see you're a Christian. I said, yes. He said, I used to be one too. I said, used to be, what do you mean? He said, I discovered that it wasn't worth it. I said, what was not worth what? What do you mean? What do you mean it was not worth it? You were paying money to God and he wasn't giving you back. Did he kill you before today and we are now in somewhere in purgatory discussing God didn't save your life? I don't know what you're saying, honestly. I said, what was not worth what? He told me how active he was. He told me the kind of Bibles he had. I looked at him. I said, you never believed, though, Oga. Let me tell you the truth. You were never a Christian. You were telling me what something wasn't worth it. Something was not worth it. A man who I heard his reputation once about womanizing told me why. When he was on campus, he was the driver of their fellowship bus. He believed for a while. This guy told me it wasn't worth it. At that time, he wanted to marry the guy who told me it wasn't worth it. And he had 2 girlfriends. And you know what I mean when an unbeliever has 2 girlfriends. Both girls only knew about them, so they didn't know about the other one. For information, he narrowed them down to the 2. They were more than that. That was his ungodly way of finding a wife. Trimming them off one by one. Here and this one go quarrel. This one a bad girl. Finally, he was now waiting to quarrel with one. And the last girl standing will be his wife. That's the person telling me something was not worth something. I looked at him, I said, God, you didn't believe anything. Forget this story. You forget. Because that I'm breathing alone is enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, it was not worth it. It was not worth it. I said, oh, your mates were partying on campus. You couldn't party. So you felt like you have given up something for God. I said, listen to me. Of course, your mates were sleeping around. They were enjoying themselves, in quotes. And you didn't do that. And you felt God should pay you back something special. I said, listen, I'm saying to you now again, that sin is a poison to your soul. You did not eat sin and you said it was not worth it. Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. Now, you getting what I'm saying? People don't understand the deliverance that God has given to them because of righteousness. They said it was not worth it. That you have the mouth to look me in the face and say something, you are still saying it was not worth it. What if God had decapitated your teeth since? You don't listen. When they say righteousness delivers from death, it's a literal thing. It's not a joke. I was telling Kim and Chima the other the story that I've told you here before about the brother who told me that he's a member of my church, somebody I know a bit. One day we met at the mechanics place and we were just. He said, do this as a young man. He had this feeling. He doesn't know where it came from. That he wouldn't live beyond the age of, I think he said 35 or so. Or 34, thereabout. I'm not sure. It's 30-something. 33 to 36. Something around that area. And that the thing followed him around. And every time he's inside the room, he will feel that there is a spirit behind. There's somebody behind him. And he will turn and there's nobody there. That this thing kept on following him around. He just knew. Later on, you know, thinking about it, I said that was the spirit of death. Following this guy, marking him down for the day he will kill him. And then one day he gave his life to Christ. He said that sense of somebody behind him disappeared. If I didn't know, just one day after a while, he looked back and said, oh, wait. I used to have this feeling that there's somebody behind me. It doesn't happen anymore. He said, but that one of that, he would not live beyond a particular age, never really left him alone. I said, you know the reason? It's because events have been set in motion. But watch the mercy of God and the righteousness that delivers from death. A few days to that birthday that he said we don't live beyond. He stopped, went out with a friend in the evening. They stopped at somebody's gate and a car just came parked beside them and one guy came out, aimed at him and fired. Two armed robbers who were running saw his car and wanted to collect it. They came to him, pointed their gun and fired. They didn't say anything. Come down and they just fired. The owner of the car that they were dropping to pick up his own reported to the police that they killed the driver of the other car. It was when he and that fellow met at the police station that they said, no, I'm not dead, I'm here. What happened? A few minutes before that, his friend had said, wind down or wind up, one of the two. And he started winding the glass. Halfway through, he changed his mind and left the glass where it was. And when that thief aimed and fired, the bullet lodged in the mechanism that raises the glass up and down. That was where they found the bullet. 2 days before that age, he said, I felt I wouldn't live beyond. Ken Higgins said he married his wife and he knew that this girl is not going to live long. One day he had a vision of the Lord. Listen, ask my wife, after I married her, the first thing I did was to bless her and pray for her. Because I had read a lot from the Bible. That the Bible says that for 20 years after Isaac married Rebecca, Rebecca didn't bear a child, though, in case you did not know, it was 20 years. 20 years after Rebecca was married for Isaac. I said, why did it take 20 years? The Bible said that one day Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. I said, look at this man. Why didn't he do it from the beginning? He didn't know. I said, thank you for telling me ahead of time. At least me, now I know. I'm not going to wait for 20 years. From the beginning, I began to entreat the Lord for my wife's sake. And the Lord heard him and gave birth to Esau and Jacob. Kenneth Higgins said, one day I had a vision of the Lord. And he told the Lord, please, I have a question. there's a feeling that I've had that this girl is not going to live long, she's going to die early. And the Lord said, yes, you're right. She's indeed going to die as a young woman. Ah, he said, no now. He said, no now, that cannot happen. Number one, I like her, she's a good woman. Number two, she's the mother of my children. I'm the one putting one, two, three, but these are the points he made. I said, Lord, you see, it takes time to train a good wife. And really, I know what I'm saying. It takes time for you to merge properly with your wife. You understand my point? He said, look, if you take her away now, I have to go and get another wife and start again. It doesn't work for the ministry. It's not good for this work. So the Lord said, so what are you saying? Ah, I don't want her to die. You don't want her to die? He said, that's it. It is done. She will not die. Before that time, she was already choking to death because she had what we call a retrosternal goiter. And she was afraid to go for surgery because she felt that she wouldn't come out of it alive. And the Lord confirmed that, yes, it was true. She wouldn't have come out of it alive. Why did she live till she was 80-something? Died a few years ago, about 2 or 3 years after her husband. An old woman, a great-grandmother. Why? Because Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. Are you getting my point? Somebody's telling me that it was not worth it. What was not worth what? That righteousness delivers from death. Listen, that the reason why that man could pray is not because anybody would just say, God, I don't want this person to die. God will say, who are you talking? Voices have level in heaven. No? I hope you know that. They have level. They have level. Go and read my tracts. Are we all equal before God? God looked and said, Jeremiah, easy, easy, easy. Easy. You think you can pray? Let me show you what they call prayer. Even if Samuel or Moses were to pray for these people, I wouldn't hear. You know what that means? There's a kind of potency. There's an anointing in the prayer of Moses and Samuel that Jeremiah had not yet even contacted. They're just a prophet. You haven't suffered for God. Listen, believe me. These are the things that give you weight before God. It's not the blood of Jesus. Listen, this is how it works. I told you that faith has two levels. You believe generally, and then God begins to test your faith at different points in life. And it's based upon the response each point time that you acquire weight in God's presence. He said, it was not worth it. I said, what was not worth what? That we can pray for a nation and that we are convinced that good will come into that land. You tell me it was not worth it. There are people who are angry with their father. If my father had been smart like his friends, they would have been rich. That's nonsense. The reason why he didn't die is because he wasn't smart. Do you understand my point? That you knew him long enough to call him your father is because he was not smart. If he had been smart like his friends, I like the testimony Divine gave in church. 5 young boys decided to do 419. He being amongst them. Then he gave his life to Christ. When the money arrived, he refused to share the money because he had been reconciled to God. He said, the day he was telling the story, he said, of all of us, I am the only one alive till today. And he's still a young man. All the other sharp guys were dead. Every single one died from various causes. What was not what was? I looked at this man and what wasn't what? Is that you out of your mind? Listen to me, serving God is always worth it. Obeying the word of God is worth more than you can ever imagine. David said, look, there are men who are filled with all the good things of life and they have handed it over to their children. He said, in fact, they are very prosperous. He said, but their portion is only in this life. That's why David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of iniquity, becoming a very rich man. That's what he was saying. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the... How can you tell me it wasn't worth it? Men believe for a while. That's what I'm talking about. They believe for just a while. A while. Just a while. A while. And they say it was not worth it. Listen, David said it like this. I have been young. Now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg bread. Your righteousness does not bless you alone. It blesses your children also. Look, listen, after I got married and began to have children, I took God more seriously because I realized that, listen, it's not only me now. No, the way God did life, that's the way it is. Those children, they are sustainers. Listen, they are intelligence. The ability to resist diseases. Listen, the ability to live long. The ability to resist the challenges of life as young people. Dependent upon my righteousness and that of their mother. We read the story. I was telling about Ben Carson earlier. I read that story. Good God gave me understanding many years ago. I finished reading the story. I said, this boy didn't prosper. It was the mother that prospered. I don't know what, I know what I'm saying. It was the mother that prospered. I read the story in between the lines. I said, wait. This is not Ben Carson. This is Sonia Carson. And that's the name of the mother. Or whatever. And this is not Ben Carson. This is the mother. Can Hagin say, after he died the first time as a young man, as he was descending down towards the pit of hell, and the voice spoke and brought him back to life. When he finally came back, he heard his mother's voice praying. It was his mother he heard praying. Are you getting the point I'm making? There's something was not what. There are nonsense. If God shows me a glimpse of what my children will accomplish, I say, Banky, the only thing I'm asking for is I drive a B2 all your life. I say, God, remove the tire self. You say, God, why go to a B2? Just give me one of these Suzuki's they're advertising. Let me ride out there up and down. Hey, I will make a name for you. The pastor that drives a Suzuki. Very humble man. Nala, I have seen a picture. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, the problem is men believe only for a while. Let's continue reading. I don't want to stay too long, all right? Luke chapter 8, let's continue reading. All right, he said, and in time of temptation they fall away, and they see which fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they were choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But this is where we are going, verse 15. And the seed in the good soil. See, that's what the only thing you can do. Make sure your heart is a good soil. The word produces by itself. Just make sure your heart is a good soil. He said, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. In what? An honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. And they hold it fast in the face of all troubles, in the face of all challenges, in the face of all trials. They hold it fast. He said, and they bear fruit with perseverance. And they bear fruit with what? With perseverance. Including men who claim they don't believe in God. I have found out that all successful men, materially speaking, I've read a number of books. All of them were lucky. They just refused to die in the time of trouble. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen. It is not a joke when, it wasn't a joke when Robert Shuler said, tough times never last. But tough people do. I was reading the book of Iacocca, the story of Lee Iacocca, who was the president of Ford and then became the president of and chairman of Chrysler. The man was renowned for doing a lot of things, including turning Chrysler around. But I read in between the lines again. The man said in effect, let me summarize it. The only reason why Chrysler survived, all right, why Chrysler became a big company after he took over, a few years after he took over, was because the economic situation in the nation changed. And men began to buy cars again. So what did he do? The only thing he did for Chrysler was help them survive the trying times. What am I going to say? He did everything, including borrowing money from the government, which he paid back shortly after. But how did the company suddenly become great again? It wasn't because it did anything that fantastic. It was because they were alive when the economy turned. I read the same story, the similar story of Donald Trump. They made a single law. He became a poor man and was owing $4 billion almost overnight. Either $2 or $4 billion. So what did he do again? He negotiated and made sure that he didn't die. Then one day, things changed again and he began to move. What am I saying? Without perseverance, forget it. There's no life, there's no business that won't have trying times. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why I hate the marriage vow that does not say for better, for worse, and for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in the health. And no, I don't like it. For better, for worse. If they didn't give you that one when you married, carry your wife. Go and do it again. Let's repeat this thing. It is for better, for worse. Because worse times will show up. And they say, you're not walking by faith. If it's for better or for better, I say, you see, you don't have experience. You don't have sense. Those are the two things that's your problem. You never heard of the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You don't get certain degrees of glories until you're ready to pass through certain degrees of suffering. The good thing about the suffering, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. A lot of, listen, if you have strength in yourself, the suffering will be over before you realize you were suffering. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. It will be over by the time you realize, man, those were suffering times. Do you know if you put an average American in the situation I am in right now, he thinks he's suffering. My light is not, yesterday Nepal took light like 3-4 times. And I won't bath, I go carry bucket. You, no, really, listen. You put an American in that situation, he thinks he's suffering. One day I remember Digi, my brother and I, Digi, we were in the house. I was in Transekulu. My wife was not home that day. We were just Digi and I were sitting in the house, we were watching TV, and they were showing Turning Point. You know the way they do programs? Coming up next. Coming up next, after this break. Can you imagine living without water for 24 hours? See a family that was without water for a lot. You know, Deji and I looked at each other like this. And without talking, we both started laughing and fell back. Like this. Next thing was, boo, boo. Both of us fell down and laughed. 24 hours. Ask me how many hours of my life I have seen running water. Even when one country was good, when I was young, much younger. I remember in our estate where I lived as a young boy, it used to flow twice a week. We knew when it was coming. You got ready for it. You got all the containers ready. And once it came, you fill all the containers and then plug the hose and put it into the reservoir. And then after a few days, it will come back again. What I'm going to explain is this. Some of the sufferings you will go through, right now you are suffering, just you don't know. That's what I'm saying. And there are certain sufferings you will go through because of the strength of spirit. Do you understand my point? You would not even know you suffered. But listen to me, trying times will come. It will come. There are times you wonder whether you really believe. Are you getting my point? But how do they bear fruit? The Bible says, they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. They don't change their minds because of what is going on. That's why people don't bear fruit. I have believed and there's no result. Maybe the thing is not working. Do you understand my point? I have believed, they said it will happen like this, but it has not yet happened. Maybe the thing is not working. So the person gives up. Listen, I said all the things I said to bring out an issue. The word of God works and it doesn't fail anybody. My experience is that most people who claim it's failing them, they don't believe it. They claim they do, but they actually don't. You want results overnight? It took God 25 years from the time he promised to get to the position where he could deliver Isaac for Abraham. 25 years. Abraham tried, he waited 25 years. No, he never waited for 25 years. He waited one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day was what? The evil thereof. Listen, they asked this man once, do you ever have a bad day? He said, no. Robert Shula. He said, why? He said, I have too much work to do preparing for tomorrow. So I never have a bad day. This was on Larry King. Now, what I'm going to explain is this. There's so much hassle. There's so much work that God has given you for today. Do you understand my point? That if you focus on it, you won't know when 25 years will pass and the word of God will have been fulfilled in your life. Do you understand my point? Listen, I take myself as an example. Sometimes I sit down and I realize the amount of work I have to do concerning ministry and some other things I have to do. The work is so plenty, I don't think I should. Look, as long as God gives me food and a place to sleep, I don't think I have the time to worry about what will happen tomorrow. No, really, I don't think I do. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The reason why the time is long, is because you are waiting for it. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. You are waiting for it. That is like, which day? Which day? Assume you want to travel now, you know? There was a time I wasn't around. Left my family for a whole month. About almost 6 weeks. And you go, they look calendar, you know, like you go, they count. My flight is on the 25th, and today is the 10th. 15 days to go. So when they look the calendar, they count. Do you understand? That's when it's very long. That's when it's very long. But if you carry the book, which was what I did eventually, and begin to write, great things can be yours. Talk to your wife in the morning. That's her morning. It was night for me. And after that, you write. After the next day, you go to work. Write book. That is, you won't know when. If I want to say time to travel, you say, oh, the time don't reach. I don't know where I get my point. When you keep busy doing something. Oh, Joseph was in jail. And oh, God was very kind to Joseph. He gave him work in jail. Do you follow what I'm saying? He gave him work. The man was busy. And listen, I've said before, there's no boy that doesn't have work. There was a time that a friend of mine joked. He said, Banky, I heard you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. It was a joke. Not after you service. Was I jobless? Not really. I listened to gospel. Gosh. I read and read. That was when I began to read Oswald Chambers. That was when I read John G. Lake, read him inside out. That was when I spent over 500 hours listening to Bishop David Oyedepo alone. I've not counted the one I did with Kenneth Hagin, or Derek Prince, or the other men. Someone said, oh, you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. Ah, that, yes, it's true. I wasn't going to clinic. But truth was, I wasn't really jobless. There's no jobless person around. There's no child of God that is jobless. All you need to do, go and listen to that message again. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Just need to look around and find out, God, there's something I'm supposed to be doing today. He says, sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. Let me read this scripture so I can close. Quickly, we read that one last time. Okay, no. Let's, I won't read it. I'll refer to it. Revelation chapter 1. But let's just read the last part of that, Luke chapter 8. He said, now, listen to this. Now, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Because this thing is like that, in verse 18, he said, therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, there's a reason why I read this. You will notice something he said here. If you go and read that Revelation chapter 1, I talked about the fact that Jesus had stars in his hand, and there were lampstands, and the lampstands were the churches. And he said, if you don't do the work at the first, I'll come and remove the lampstand out of the place. What does that mean? Lampstand means that's the elevation, the platform that God has given you to shine. Do you get my point? And it's saying here that if God plants his word in your heart, in your life, he said, no one lights a candle or a lamp and puts it under a bushel, but he puts it in a place where it can shine. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has a responsibility. If his word is in your heart, his light, he's working to build a platform for you so that you can shine. Did I hear an amen? What I've told you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let me tell you the job of Christians. You want to marry a good husband or a good wife? Don't go asking too many questions. You go and draw a list of the 10 fine girls in your church. And you start, you know, taking them out one by one to go and chat. How are you really like? What food do you eat? What are your plans for life? What do you really want to achieve? Job interview. The girl should stop you and say, oh boy, come. Wait. Did I come to you to apply for a job? What's your problem? What post are you offering? Wife, CEO of my home. Okay, I'm not interested. Then you go to the second one. No, listen, you don't need that. Did I hear an amen? Let me tell you what God does. God gives you a word of truth. Do you understand my point? A word of truth. Once you imbibe that word concerning marriage, he said, good. Now he has light. We can't put him under a bushel. Therefore, we'll give him a platform. It's called a home, that he might shine with the light he has lent. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. I've been hearing testimonies. I don't want to mention names. There are a few testimonies. In fact, two of the testimonies are right here. When I finished preaching Christ and the Church, the foundation for marriage as a believer, when I finished doing that series, a number of people caught revelation. And those revelations have borne fruit. When men heard the truth, all right, it gave, now that's the way it works. It gave them what? A platform. When you hear a truth, in fact, my good example, you know, that my woman, Mary Kay, she had the word in her on how good business should be done. And then God gave her Mary Kay Cosmetics that she might manifest for the world to see. Before you embark on anything you want to do in life, don't just start doing something. No. Settle down, imbibe the truth. It's the word that is inside you that God gives a platform to manifest. Kingdom World Ministry is not about how to organize and how to make a name for yourself. It's whether Pastor Banky has a word to preach or he doesn't have a word to preach. Are you getting the point? Maybe I should continue developing.